From WHQR Public Media in Wilmington, North Carolina, this is Coastline. I'm Rachel Lewis-Hilburn. The voter registration deadline for 28 counties in North Carolina is now extended because of impacts from Hurricane Florence, New Hanover, Brunswick, Pender, and Onslow counties, as well as 23 other affected areas now have until October 15th to register. The deadline had been October 12th. New Hanover County's Board of Education has four open seats this year. Eight people, four Democrats, four Republicans, are competing for those seats, which carry four-year terms. During this year's May primary, current Chairman Ed Higgins, who had served since 1994, lost his bid for a seventh term to political newcomer Bill Rivenbark, whom we met Wednesday. All seven members of the current board are Republican. Today, we'll meet three of the candidates, two Democrats and one Republican incumbent seeking his second term. Another incumbent, Janice Kavanaugh, had agreed to appear today, but told us yesterday of a personal conflict. We wish her and her family well. We'll meet the candidates in one-on-one interviews, and they will answer my questions and yours. You can get your question in the queue during the live Thursday show by emailing us at coastline@whqr.org or calling 910-343-1138. In this first segment, though, we're going to look at this year's election through the eyes of a political scientist. Aaron King is an associate professor of political science at the University of North Carolina, Wilmington. And he joins us now. Aaron King, welcome to Coastline.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
Great to have you here. First of all, let's just talk about this race that we're going to be looking at in a few minutes. The New Hanover County School Board. We know that despite greater interest in larger races, which is evidenced by higher turnout, it's these local races that actually really impact quality of life. Can you explain that?
Right. I think, if you follow the media or just you talk to people about politics, everyone's talking about Trump and Kavanaugh and all these national issues. And yet, if there's any community that understands the importance of local politics, Wilmington should know about these things now. The last couple of weeks have been very tumultuous, and so much happens at the local level that really matters. And when we start talking about education, I mean, how many parents have had kids out of school? How many people at the university have been out of work? And it really is the local stuff that matters, and yet people just simply don't pay enough attention to it. There's bigger debates and things on their mind. But I think that this is a great forum that you guys have put on here, and all the different access to information that people have, people should really take advantage of it and expand their political horizons a little bit and learn about some of the races they don't typically think about.
Can you speak to how the Board of Education actually impacts people's lives, some of the issues that are at stake in this particular race?
Yeah, I think the things that you're viewers have heard about quite a bit already is redistricting and funding and school safety. Even if you don't have kids, right, you have neighbors that are teachers. You have neighbors that are kids. And these people will grow up and they'll be in this community. So I think the impact of the educational system matters so much more than just having children, the investment in what happens sort of in your future community.
We hear all the time that voters are sick and tired of the partisan bickering and the gridlock in Washington, and yet they are as polarized, it seems, in their own communities as are the politicians. And it seems that self-sorting appears to be, and this is my own observation, I admit that, it's so anecdotal, not scientific, but it appears to be on the increase, is it?
Well, I think it depends on who you're talking about. There's no doubt that by many measures, politicians are polarized, political activists are polarized, and candidates are polarized. There's a lot of people that do not necessarily pay that much attention to politics, and they're not particularly polarized. But as a result, they're very much turned off by the partisanship that we see in today's society. And when they take a step back, the only people that are left are the people that are more extreme on either end. And so it's not surprising that politicians will cater to some people over others because they're the ones that choose to be engaged.
And yet we've seen, certainly with the Kavanaugh hearings, that's such an example of extreme political polarization. And then at the state level, we see politicians come together in the aftermath of Hurricane Florence. Can you talk about how Hurricane Florence has sort of affected this state politically?
Right. I think Hurricane Florence is a good example of what academics would deem a rally around the flag moment, similar to how 9/11 was on the national scale, where people start thinking about the things that really matter, right? Lives and homes and families, and you sort of forget about some of the political bickering that typically happens. And of course, it's not surprising that it doesn't take long before the politics comes right back into it. And politicians start running ads about sort of disaster relief. And that's understandable. And at the same time, it is something where people start to get a little bit turned off of, oh, here we go. We're back to politics again.
So how can we get around that? Is there a technique to kind of either get our own thinking kind of past that initial emotional, visceral reaction that someone might have when they, whichever side of the aisle they happen to identify with? Is there a way past that?
I would recommend taking a political science class with me. But so I think that it is really difficult because these are difficult issues and we feel passionate about them. And we have kids and we're passionate about our kids. Everyone wants what's best for their kids. And yet, I think if you can take a step back from your own ideological and partisan predispositions to think about the issue more holistically, think about someone else's positions, right? That it really starts to give you a little bit of perspective on why some of these issues are as complicated and difficult to solve as they are. We all sort of just assume in politics that we're right. But the fact is there's other people that completely disagree with you, and they have pretty good reasons to disagree with you, right? And so I don't think that taking this perspective will change people's opinions, but it definitely, I think, helps with the dialogue and actually being able to carry on a conversation to actually understand these issues that are deceptively complex.
What are some of the factors, do you think, that go into this continuing dynamic of increasing polarization or self-sorting among folks?
Well, I think first is there's a lot of people that just don't necessarily like politics. And they have other things to worry about, right? And so they immediately sort of tune everything out. And the people that do care about politics are increasingly, they see the stakes rising higher and higher. We see that with Kavanaugh, right? A Supreme Court seat is a pretty big deal. And so when people feel the stakes are so high, it really matters whether or not you win or lose. And at the same time, we do a lot of self-sorting as well in terms of we tend to associate with people that think similar to us. We tend to not talk about politics except when we're in a friendly audience, right? And so I think that sometimes we have to acknowledge that while everything is political, some things don't have to be. Education is a valence issue. Everyone wants better education for their children. It inevitably becomes political, but it's more complex than just, oh, Republicans think this and Democrats think that, right? And even though it's a shortcut and it makes sense that people use those partisan labels to help them make decisions, you shouldn't necessarily assume that because you're a Republican or Democrat and you have an opinion on Judge Kavanaugh, that necessarily translates to what's best for New Hanover County schools.
Well, let's take one of the redistricting. It's probably fair to say that is not only the major issue in this year's elections, but it's probably one of the most emotional for folks as well. There's a lot at stake for people when it comes to that. But whichever side of that you fall on, and it's not necessarily just a binary issue, what do you think people lose by not really trying to understand the other point of view? Why do we have to even try to do that? I mean, what if I'm just right?
Right, of course.
Probably.
And I'm right too. Right. I think that it's healthy for a democracy to realize you might not be right.
Why?
I think that it actually facilitates conversation. And, you know, you speak about education and redistricting, and my wife and I made a decision on where to buy a house because we're told this is the best school district. And with education, it's very much what we would call a collective action problem, where maybe what's best for the collective is not necessarily what's best for the individual. And people have very strong feelings about, well, maybe the benefits of redistricting might be there, but you certainly better not redistrict my child, right? And so it becomes very difficult for people to separate maybe their views on the collective versus their views for the individual. But I think that we live our lives and we're in such insular circles and communities that we forget that everyone's not like us. I realize that we were fortunate to be able to buy a house where we bought but other people don't necessarily have that option. And so just speaking to someone that's different from you, it might not change your mind, but it just gives you some insight into someone else's perspective. And again, you're still going to think that you're right, I imagine, but at least if there's someone that you respect that also disagrees with you, it sort of – it lowers the armor a little bit and have an actual productive political conversation.
And just a minute left, we've heard anecdotally that some politicians, especially at the federal level, are now just going to talk to what they know will be friendly audiences, left or right-leaning reporters. Is that a trend that you're seeing? And if so, is that a disturbing trend for journalism in general?
I think the media is certainly at the center of a lot of things going on in politics now. And yet I don't necessarily – I think we're too quick to blame the politicians for only wanting to talk to one side. The reason why politicians speak to who they speak to is because other people aren't listening, right? The people – this is a great forum, but the people that should listen to this forum are not your typical people that are already listening. So I think it's important for us to have these conversations and to not think that we're just right about everything.
Professor Aaron King of the Political Science Department at UNCW, thank you so much for being with us today.
Thanks so much. It's great to be here.